Let's get into it then.
All right.
Awesome sauce.
I ask that the gods and goddesses of our respective paths bless this circle so that we may be free and protected within this space.
And if you have this one word, pagan or paganism.
For the pagan community.
Exactly.
Right. The big umbrella.
And that was fucking fantastic.
The best podcast ever.
We're three pagans.
Exactly. We're three pagans.
And a cat.
And may the works this day be of the highest good for all present and those listening, so mote it be. The circle is cast.
Hail Dictinus, grant us clear voices, strong sound, and good reads. Water is not a solid wall. It will not stop you. But water always goes where it wants to go, and nothing in the end can stand against it. Welcome to Elements Water, the 183rd episode of Three Pagans and a Cat. Our opening today is courtesy of award-winning writer Margaret Atwood. Thanks to Velocity Rose for our intro music. You can find more of their work at velocityrose.com. You may call me Ode.
And you may call me Gwyn Merrymeet.
Car is at work, so again, we do not have him this week.
That's right, but that's okay. We will persevere.
We will endure. And
we will carry on.
Yes. In the second of our Elements episodes. So I guess first, housekeeping?
There's really a lot of housekeeping other than on the third Thursday of every month. I do divination along with my son Jackson at Valhalla in Kalamazoo. So if you are in the Kalamazoo area and you would like a tarot reading from either myself or Jackson on the third Thursday of the month, then come to Valhalla and pay us a visit between 7 and 11.
We are going to be pushing our recording time back to Mondays at 8 p.m. EST because Gwyn's new job sometimes runs over a little late and then she gets here with barely minutes to spare.
Yep. Like
before
today.
7 p.m. like today. So we're going to be pushing back our recording time an hour. The edited podcast will still go up at 7 p.m. EST on Tuesdays.
That's right. And if I sound a little flaky, it's because I am fucking exhausted. But I'm here for it, and I'm here for you. We are talking about WADA.
Yes. So that is our housekeeping concluded. We are house kept and...
house swept.
Water, next in the elements.
Yes, it is.
Arguably more important than Earth.
And it is, in fact, my moon and sun sign. Even though I'm very earthy.
Double Pisces over there.
I'm a double Pisces. Even though I'm very earthy in everything I do. I'm not a water witch.
So let's begin, I guess, with the signs that are associated with water. They are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces.
Yay, Pisces!
So, like, you could have been double water if you had been, like, a Pisces Cancer. But yeah. You aren't. You're a Pisces Pisces.
I'm a Pisces Pisces, which means I'm very intuitive and very emotional.
just all fish all the
all
time
fish
in your in
all
your
the time
astrology chart.
That's right.
I want to mention again an interesting theory that was brought up by one of our listeners last episode, who suggested a theory that what you crave in terms of elemental alignment, what the elements you want to work with, the elements you're fascinated with, are actually the elements you most lack in your astrological chart. So that may be why you're not a water witch, because you have so much water in your chart already.
I got water world going on over here. That's
oh,
true.
Oh, God. Yeah. I just, like, had the whole,
water world.
The entirety of water world, like,
yes.
Resurrected in my brain.
Kevin Costner.
The whole long-ass movie.
It's a great movie.
Just
I
replayed
love that.
On fast forward in my memory.
So many people don't like water world. I love water world. Maybe it's because I'm a Pisces.
Maybe.
Pisces.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It is genuinely a good movie, though. And it brings home an important point. The majority of our world already is water.
Yes.
So the planet Earth is 71% covered with water in various forms.
And our bodies are mostly water.
Yep. And that's why you need to drink a great deal of water to sustain life. It's why you can survive something like 2 weeks without food, but only 3 days without water.
Uh-huh.
Dehydration actually is the cause of a lot of your daily bodily ailments that you're not 100% conscious of. So a good general rule of thumb, if you are tired, hungry, confused, irritable, or sore drink a glass of water, and it might solve any of those things.
You're probably dehydrated.
The first thing you should do anytime you feel remotely not great is just drink a glass of water and see if that solves it.
And I know so many people are, you know, like I have been in the past, oh, I don't like just plain water. Well, get over it.
And neither do I. And I drink water with little flavor drops and stuff in it.
Or put some fruit. Slice up some lemons or some oranges or apples.
Strawberries
or raspberries or something.
You can actually, fruit.
Yeah, you can do any fruit. Basil is actually, you know, and cucumber is actually really good in water.
Cucumber water in the summer.
Yeah. Mm. And because of health issues, I'm actually switching to almost all water. Mm-hmm. And it does make a difference.
And if you have to, just treat it like medicine.
Drink a
glass of water as medicine for any time you feel vaguely weird.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't solve your problem, then you know you need something more than water. Yep. But like,
it's a good place to start.
A good 50% of the time, it's just that you're dehydrated and your body's trying to find some way to inform you.
Yep. Exactly. And like, you know, I have been one of those people who drinks lots and lots of soda.
Mm-hmm.
And all that does is put sodium into your body and make you more dehydrated.
Now, if your options are drink nothing or drink soda. You're still getting some hydration out of that.
Yes.
But it is obviously, in general, better to drink water.
Just drink water.
Your body needs it because it is mostly made of it.
And as Swan said, filtered water is more tasty than tap.
That is true in a lot of places.
In a lot of places. Not all places, but
Everybody's tap water is different, effectively.
Yep. And the thing we need to remember is there are lots of places in this world where they don't have clean water access.
They do not have good access to water.
We are incredibly lucky in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We have clean water.
And by in this country, we mean the United States.
The United States. In this country, the United States, we are very lucky because we have access to clean water
in most places.
Not all.
Not all. Flint, Michigan's still out there.
Flint, yeah.
Fucked up.
But we have
in
options.
Most places.
We have options.
We have access to clean water.
Yeah. So, water is a very important physical element for the body,
necessary,
for the mind.
Necessary for life.
But it's also very important.
And yeah, your brain actually is hugely composed of water.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But so not only do we have our physical needs, but our emotional, spiritual needs are found.
Also very wrapped up
very
in water.
Very wrapped up in water.
So in tarot, cups suit is the one that's associated with water.
Yep.
And so the corollary associations between cups and water are emotion, spirituality, communication, and relationships.
Yep, exactly.
Or in general, soft skills.
Yep. Although, and I know that air, and we'll be talking about air too, is supposed to be inspiration ideas, but how many people get their best ideas in the shower or in the bath?
There's a deep creativity connection to water. Yeah.
So I think it goes kind of hand in hand in some ways. Maybe air and water work together in that capacity. I don't know. But I was thinking about that today. All the best ideas a person has, everybody says, I either had it while I was taking a shower or while I was taking a bath. Always.
Brianna Grace says, steam? So maybe it's the steam is the water and
maybe
the air working together.
Working together, the vapor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Part of the shower phenomenon is that it's a time when you can't do anything else.
Right.
So your brain enters sort of a free association mode. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is just a quality to being in water that is enriching.
Part of that may be because physically we need that water. Mm-hmm. And so our body is just, you know, naturally attuned to water. It helps us to relax.
Right. Calling it a theory always feels like underselling it. But the theory of evolution holds that basically all life began in water, began in oceans.
Yeah, and essentially, even in the womb, a baby is spending 9 months in amniotic fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of water.
Yes, lots of water. The other thing that I was thinking about, because I didn't see this necessarily listed as an association with cups and with water, but I certainly associate cups, suit, and water, and the other cards associated with water, like the High Priestess,
right,
as being heavily tied into magic.
Yes, I would agree with that.
The performance of magic.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not. Actually, I think I would think of air and the wand suit as the performance of magic, and water and the cups suit as sort of innate magic.
Mm.
Not to get too off into the other elements.
But they all work together,
right,
obviously.
But I do think water has a strong association with certain kinds of magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of it this way. Think about in the ancient world, mm-hmm. and even up into today, how many water-related mythologies mm-hmm. there are where magic is imbued within the water for healing, yep. for
many healing springs,
for like strength,
like even authority, like King Arthur receiving the sword from the Lady in the Lake,
exactly,
or the Grail is this holy uh-huh. object, is a vessel to hold water,
exactly. And think about when Achilles was, where was he dunked?
Mm-hmm.
He was dunked into the river. So yeah, water figures very, very prominently in our mythologies mm-hmm. and in our understanding of magic
and power
and all kinds of associations with those things.
I think we tend to, in the modern day, almost undersell the power and authority uh-huh. that is in water. I think because we associate it with soft skills
yeah.
that we devalue. We associate it with emotionality and with communication.
Mm-hmm.
And those are obviously very, very important, especially in terms of maintaining your relationships. But they are skills that I think in the modern day we don't value as highly
uh-huh.
as more active skills or producing skills,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
Water skills are things that don't produce so much as they maintain,
mm-hmm.
Or they just are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think because we associate water so heavily with those things, we undervalue or we sort of gloss over the other depths that water contains.
Huh, depths.
Uh-huh, exactly.
I see what you did there.
Because, sidebar, of the 71% of our Earth that is covered in water, vast amounts of that have not been explored.
Yeah, that is the great
unexplored territory. Yeah, on our Earth is the depths of our oceans.
Uh-huh.
There's a cave system somewhere in the United States. I don't remember exactly where, but there's a cave system that contains this huge underground sea that is so deep and goes so far. It has all these twisty caverns.
Uh-huh.
That it's never been fully explored, and they've stopped trying because it's too dangerous.
Yeah, people get lost
mm-hmm.
and die. Rochelle says it. Water flows in pools and swirls, the way we often use to describe magical energy too. And there are currents in the flow and mm-hmm. energy to water.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's in a standing pool, there's mm-hmm. an energy there.
There's a quality of motion to water, even when it's not visibly moving,
uh-huh.
I think because it's the only reason it's not moving is that it is being contained.
Yeah, yeah.
Water is always in some kind of motion.
Yeah, and as our quote, you know, at the front
mm-hmm.
Said, you know, it is inexorable.
Yep.
You know, when water is coming, if you've got out of control a tsunami or, you know, those giant any kind of flood, there's no stopping it.
Mm-hmm.
You just
sometimes it takes time.
Yeah.
But like the Grand Canyon was carved out by water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the face of our Earth has been defined
shaped
by the movement of water.
Uh-huh.
By glaciers and rivers and oceans rising and falling.
Uh-huh.
The shapes of the land we live on are almost wholly defined by the actions of water.
Yeah, exactly. And Lewick makes a good point, too. Baptism is
a
symbolic act in religion, in mm-hmm. spirituality, that uses water.
Mm-hmm.
As a symbol of rebirth. Renewal,
mm-hmm.
cleansing. That's what we use water for. We cleanse
mm-hmm.
not only our physical bodies when we take a shower or a bath, but what do we wash our tools in? You know, what do?
Yep.
We cleanse our tools. We asperge mm-hmm. an area with water.
Yep.
You know, or our tools with
sometimes
water.
With sacred water, sometimes just with
plain, clean water. Clean water, yeah.
It is naturally cleansing
on its own. Yeah.
With no other element involved.
Exactly. If you're cleansing a tool that can be dipped
mm-hmm.
into water to cleanse,
That's a perfect way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You just, you know, as long as it's something that isn't going to be
water soluble.
Isn't going to be damaged,
mm-hmm.
you know, by
immersion.
Put it in running water
mm-hmm.
or dip it in water pour the water. Yep. Or just, you know, sometimes I'll just take my finger and just, you know, put a little dab of water.
Mm-hmm. That's especially useful when you have like a really limited supply of sacred water.
Yes. And we do have some sacred water. Mm-hmm. We had two vials from the Chalice Wells, and that's a powerful, powerful well that's been used for centuries. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we use those very sparingly.
Yeah, drop at a time.
Drop at a time. But it's like moon water. What are we doing? We're taking the water,
just normal clean
water to be energized by the moon. Mm-hmm. But it's still that water combined with that moon's energy.
Mm-hmm. Or like gathering storm water.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I like to gather the first snow and let that melt and keep that. So there are all kinds of, I guess, it feels weird to call them special waters. Uh-huh. But waters, because ultimately they're just water.
It's just water, but it has an association.
You associate it with a particular event
that makes
or time
it special.
Or situation. Mm. Yeah, and that imbues it with extra magic.
Well, for instance, the various wells that are considered sacred throughout the world where people go for healing, most of the time it's because they're mineral wells.
They have some kind of
unique
quality
and benefit where people really do benefit from the water because of what is in the water.
But also, those wells are very old, very established wells, and they have spirits.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the water from that well is attached to that spirit, which performs this function.
Exactly. I think part of my reticence toward water comes from having gone to a swimming class and not enjoyed it. There's that, and also my mom told me as a child I didn't like water, which is, again, Pisces all around, not a fish kid. And what she did was trick me, essentially, into realizing the water's okay. I was like 3 years old, and she would pack me and my older siblings up and take us to the beach every day, plop me down on the sand.
And just wait for the tide to come in?
And just let the tide, until, so that it was, you know.
She frog boiled you.
She did. And it got to the point where I realized, oh, okay, this isn't so bad, you know. This water stuff is all right.
Tolerable.
I'll accept it.
I understand the problem. So I was on a swim team, actually, briefly, in middle school, I think. And I actually really did enjoy swimming, and I enjoyed being in the pool. But also, I hate to be wet.
Yeah.
Hate it. Absolutely. Nothing I hate worse in the world than being wet.
This is something that has been true of this child since they were born.
It's the worst experience
Since
of my life.
They were born, people. I'm not even kidding.
I resisted being bathed
as
an
earliest infant on, like home from the hospital on.
And so I can, under the right conditions, enjoy a hot shower. Uh-huh. I can enjoy being in the pool under the right conditions. Sometimes it's a full body, no thank you experience from the get-go. But regardless, even if I enjoy being in the water, as soon as I have to leave the water,
you don't like it.
Loathe it.
Yeah, the drying off.
The experience of my skin being damp is the worst thing on this earth.
I can understand.
And so Gwen has often seen me like step in a puddle and then do the cat thing where I have to shake off my feet.
Yep. That's true. But I will say this.
So I have a complex relationship with water.
It's very complex. But I will say, though, that even though I've always been more drawn to earth types of, you know, like gardening and being in the forest and things like that, there is a special quality or a special feeling I get when I do go to a beach or to a lake and sit on that water's edge and or a river, experience the flow of that water and the ebb and the flow and the presence of the spirit of the lake or the river, the stream, you know, whatever it is.
That's the Pisces in you. Because the feeling I get from being at the edge of a lake or a large body of water is, one, monsters in it. There's monsters in that thing. Absolutely 100%.
Scylla and Charybdis are coming for you.
Not sticking my feet in there. They're going to get eaten. And two, the spirit of that lake, too big, does not notice me. And if she does not care.
Yeah, I don't know.
You get like
I totally vibe with yeah, the
you,
spirits.
And I think that's the Pisces water energy that you have, that yeah. you do have.
Yeah.
Is that like you vibe with water.
Yeah.
And water looks at me and it's just like, not that one.
I guess this is probably
that one's food.
What this probably means is I probably should spend a little more time, you know, exploring my relationship with water and exploring my relationship with the spirit, the various spirits.
Yeah.
Of various lakes,
because
and
I think you could
and,
have very deep relationships with
probably
with lake spirits and yeah. things.
Well, I do love a lake. I do love the lake. You know, we live in Michigan, so we've got the Great Lakes. And one of the most wonderful things to me is to go to Lake Michigan and just experience.
I'm not going to say that Lake Michigan is not
that
a
lady. Oh.
A very impressive experience. Oh, she absolutely is.
It's so
but
beautiful.
Also.
To me.
Oh, not to me.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's intimidating
even
to me.
Even when it's windy and the waves are kicking up and like she's being a bitch of a, you know, having
of a lake.
Of a lake, you know, with the storms.
Of an inland
stuff.
Sea.
Now the only one I've never visited because I've met Huron and Erie and, and Michigan.
It's Superior.
It's Superior that I haven't met. And that one feels intimidating just thinking about going to the edge of Lake Superior and meeting that lake spirit. But I'd still be down for it. I would still want to do it.
Swan says Lake Superior is a grumpy old man.
Elnut Rhiannon says, I'm definitely more of a fan of streams and creeks than the bigger or stiller bodies of water. I do love a good creek.
I like the rivers.
Yeah.
I do like when we lived in Grand Rapids, I liked standing by the river and it's a different vibe.
It's
a
completely different vibe from a lake. Like for me, a river is like, all right, let's go. We're moving. We're fishing. We're
even
you know,
a slow river is still very,
there's more, you know, there's
more
action.
Activity. Yeah.
There's more activity. It may just be because of the words, you know, bubbly,
maybe
bubbling spring,
but streams feel
more in motion too.
Yeah, and they feel spiritually to me as a person to whom lakes are not a friendly presence. Rivers do feel more accessible.
Yeah,
like they're paying a little more attention to humans on the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they're. I mean, you're actually not any less likely to die in a river than a lake, probably, but they feel like they're less inclined to drown you for spite.
Well, that depends.
But also, I don't get the there's monsters in there vibe from rivers, so that probably helps.
Right, right. Yeah, no, there's at the Kalamazoo Nature Center, there's a river that I went with our Jaguar, Justin Stanage, and his lady. We went and stood by the river and just, oh gosh, that was really glorious. I mean, it was like a slow moving day. It was going pretty good.
Yeah.
But there was just, again, there was just this vibe, this peace, I wouldn't want to go in it necessarily, but I really vibed with that spirit.
You know
of that river.
What water body I do vibe with, and this is probably just because we had one at Granny's house, is like a marsh or a wetland,
a
swamp.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because you grew up on one.
Yeah, because there was
spent a lot of time there.
There was that little wetland
at
the front of my grandmother's property, and it was fed by a little creek that ran under the road.
Well, and a lot of underground.
There was a lot of underground water. And so that space feels comfortable and familiar and safe to me.
That makes sense.
But yeah, that's almost certainly just because I grew up around it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You were acclimated to it.
Uh-huh. And I was, you know, I got to watch the herons come visit.
Right.
All the frogs and little peepers and things.
It's interesting how each body of water in various locations, I mean, it's all different wherever you go. Like, I've been to both the Atlantic and now the Pacific, and I can say, at least for me,
there's a distinctive
difference between the two.
Right.
And how they feel.
They're not just like both ocean deities.
Ooh, ocean! You know, no, it's a very different type of feeling from both. Mm-hmm. Now, those spirits are massive.
Yes, I would imagine so.
Those are massive.
Absolutely
like you get
overwhelming,
tiny, just a teeny tiny bit, and you're just like...
Unfathomable.
But yeah, I don't even know that I could describe the difference between what I felt between the Atlantic and the Pacific. Now, it's possible because the Atlantic I experienced was in Florida and the Gulf of Mexico and all this. So there's like, and it's warm there, but there's this sense of welcome. practice, mm-hmm. at least in that area.
That part of the Atlantic.
That part of the Atlantic that I've been to. The Pacific, when I was there in California, it was, I wouldn't say welcoming, but it wasn't hostile.
Sean says playfulness in the Bay of Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would definitely go with that. I'd love to, like, travel again to some of these various bodies of water, especially the bigger ones, mm-hmm. and just kind of take some time to sense those vibes and really, really commune and really try to take in and then write down.
I was going to say, record those experiences.
Record those experiences. That would make an interesting trip.
It would.
Just to visit various bodies of water.
Yeah. Do a blog series on it.
Yeah, yeah.
In Summoning Spruce, Josephine Swell lives in a magical community pinched between forests healing from clear cuts and a logging town gone bust. Freshly dumped and living back home, Swell has accepted a job with the Rose Council to follow up on any illegal magic practiced within council territory. But when a body is found inside the boundary of the woods, the fragile treaty between those who must protect the forest's magic and loggers is tested. Swell must follow a trail of deadly magic to find the killer before the home she loves is cut to the ground. Summoning Spruce is Our Tiger, Trees If You Please's magical eco-fiction and is available for purchase at summoningspruce.com.
Hail Dictinus.
So, I guess that sort of leads into, there are many different forms of water.
Uh-huh.
So, like, we were just talking about the difference between the oceans and the lakes and the rivers and, right. and everything. But even aside from bodies of water, water itself comes in many different forms. Mm-hmm. So, you've got your standard liquid water.
Yeah. You got your vapor.
You got your vapors. You got your mists.
Uh-huh.
You got your frozen water.
Yep. Ice and ice, snow. Baby.
Yeah, you got snow. And you have water at all these sort of different phases in the water cycle, right? So you have the water that is collected into a body of water.
Uh-huh.
And you have water that is returning back to the earth in the form of rain.
All this big cycle.
Mm-hmm. And although that is technically speaking all the same water,
uh-huh.
it definitely does feel like different water.
It does. It does. It has its own individual unique spirits and they all work together and come together and flow together and mm-hmm. disperse. And
although the different forms or stages of water definitely feel different, and although
uh-huh.
the different bodies of water, the established bodies of water, certainly have their own spirits. I do wonder if, I mean, just last episode we were talking about the community and the interconnectivity
uh-huh.
of Earth.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's something similar with water in a different way. With Earth, it feels like all of the constituent parts are part of a community of Earth.
Uh-huh.
With water, it almost feels like all of the constituent waters are one water.
Okay, yeah.
Ultimately, whatever expression that water has at any given time, it's all part of one
vast
water.
It just can be presented in multiple forms.
Mm-hmm. And those forms do have distinct spirits,
uh-huh.
but they're also
part of the bigger.
Part of the big
uh-huh.
ultra-er water.
Water.
Oh, we talked about moon water earlier, and uh-huh. water is actually strongly associated with the moon.
Yes.
Because of associations with tides uh-huh. and things. But for a similar reason, I think water is associated with dreams and illusions.
Uh-huh.
The moon card in tarot is often presented, portrayed as
a reflection
of the moon in a body of water. What it represents there is the illusion, it would be grasping for the reflection of the moon in
uh-huh.
that water
uh-huh.
instead of reaching for the real moon in the sky, as
yep.
it were. So there's a quality to water that is, in a way, almost deceptive.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, think about it. If you have a clear pool,
mm-hmm.
it can be very deceptive of how deep that pool
yes.
is.
Yes, and in fact, this kills many people.
Yeah.
Cause and you can't see, like, the underwater currents, so that's how people get caught in riptides.
Uh-huh.
People who are not strong swimmers often underestimate the dangers of especially a natural body of water.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've gotten knocked over, mm-hmm. and that's a very scary experience when a wave gets you, and then you're just tumbling with
mm-hmm.
the tide of the water as it goes in toward toward the beach.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're just lucky that it's not taking you
further out
to sea.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, there's a deception, and there's a danger to water that I think we undersell.
Uh-huh.
In the same way that we undersell, I think, the power and authority of water.
Mm-hmm.
And probably for the same reason. because we think of water as being such a soft and malleable and flexible force, there is still, even though we all know that bending is better than breaking,
right,
we still, for some reason, think of that as a weak action.
Yeah.
And so we think of water as a weak element.
It's weird because water is such a powerful force.
It really, really is. And it can be so destructive. As the increasing number of floods around the world, thanks to global warming
and
climate change, have shown, water can be tremendously destructive. As dangerous as any wildfire when it encroaches into human settlement, right?
So I think when we're working with the element of water, the overarching spirit of water is how I view it, we need to approach water with respect.
Yeah.
And a respect that maybe we don't always...
And a caution.
Yeah, a respect and a caution. I think we approach fire with caution.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, fire burns.
And we think of it as dangerous.
And we think of it as dangerous. But I don't think we think... Because it's such a part of our lives all the time.
And because it's so necessary to our lives.
It's so necessary to our lives. We tend to think of water as a benevolent element.
Or at worst, an annoyance. You know, like when it's raining, you might be like mildly annoyed. Oh, jeez, I'm going to get wet.
Exactly.
And so we think of it in these very almost toothless terms.
Yeah. But we have to remember that nature does have teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And water is a part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And
a very big part.
A big part of nature. And so it is to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to work with the element of water...
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're respecting the spirit that you are asking to align with your magic.
And and know which aspect of water you're calling on, right?
Yeah.
Like, are you calling for a gentle spring rain or are you calling for a thunderstorm?
Exactly. And there's a big difference between the two. And of course, we have deities that are associated with water in various ways.
Many, many.
Many, many deities associated with water. Thor is a god of thunder.
He's associated with the storm. And through that, in that way, he's also associated with the agriculture and farmers and the working man.
Exactly.
Because he brings that necessary rain, he brings that water to the fields, but he also brings the threat.
That threat. If you've ever been outside during a really torrential downpour, it hurts.
Yeah, where the drops are so heavy that they hurt when they hit you.
Yeah, it
feels like hail.
Yeah, it feels like you're being poked, because it's coming down so hard, so fast, so sharp.
Sometimes at an angle.
sometimes at an angle. So, like, if you're doing a spell, and you need water, what kind of water do you need?
Yeah, you're not asking for just... water in general.
Yeah.
You're asking for a particular phase and style of water.
Like if you're doing a freezer spell, obviously, you're working with ice.
With frozen water.
You're working with frozen water. And so maybe approach the spell from that perspective. You're not just putting water in a bottle and, you know, and stuff and sticking it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually working with ice.
Ice as an element.
As an element.
The whole point of a freezer spell and sort of the nature of ice is stoppage, is delay. It's water that has been frozen in place. And we talked before about how water is always in some kind of motion. And even ice is in motion. It's expanding and contracting as the temperature changes. But it's not as mobile and flexible as other forms of water. Like, you don't want to do a freezer spell for something that you want to change. You do a freezer spell for something that you want to stop or delay.
And if you want some kind of healing,
you don't want a freezer spell.
You don't want a freezer spell. You don't want to use ice. You might want to use, you know, a well, you know, that has been associated with sacred healing.
Yep, one of the classic healing wells.
One of the classic healing wells. But you also may want to, depending on what kind of healing you're looking for, you may want some kind of rushing water. If it's, you know, some like a river or a waterfall.
Especially if there's some kind of illness in your body that you want to
flush out.
Yeah, to flush out of your system. In that case, you would definitely want running water.
Mm-hmm.
Also, tea.
Yes.
Tea is a part of bringing, like, a healing tea or a divinatory tea,
anything
like that is part of bringing water into your body.
Anytime you're doing, you create a brew or a potion
that you can consume.
That you can consume, or even if it's something that you just pour out, you are still using water. You are partnering with water, and you're heating the water and agitating the molecules and creating steam. So you're actually working with both
multiple elements. When you make like a eucalyptus tea, you inhale the vapors.
Yeah, you're inhaling the vapors.
Swan says, I use my mouth as a cauldron and hold to the water, charging my intent before swallowing it. That's really interesting.
That's really interesting, yeah.
Brandon Gray says, I could see a freezer spell working for people with a chronic illness, though. Like with my fucked up knee joints, I put ice on them to reduce swelling. So if it's something you know can't be fixed, freezing the side effects to stop them or slow the onset could be beneficial. That's absolutely true.
And absolutely.
If you have a degenerative condition or a condition that is progressive in some way and you want to just stop it or slow it down, that would be a great time to use a freezer spell for healing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we always think of freezer spells as just...
as malicious.
Malicious. But no, it absolutely can be healing. And I think that's a great...
Yeah,
that's a great application.
That's a really good idea, Rhiannon.
Yeah.
And I especially like the point about you put ice on a swollen joint.
Yeah, to help reduce the inflammation.
Exactly. You do use water.
Yeah.
In these very practical... Frozen water in these very practical
ways. Heated water.
And hot water bottles and things. Yep. I don't know. Do people still use hot water bottles?
Yeah.
Because I know people have these heating pads things now that they use. But when I was a kid, it was hot water bottles all the way. Anytime I had a sore stomach, I would get a hot water bottle wrapped in a towel and I would just hug that all day.
Yep.
And it's very comforting.
It still is.
Other ways to use water in your magic is the bath, shower, swim method.
Exactly.
Immerse yourself in water.
Especially if you are needing to ground yourself or you're stressed and you need to
cleanse
or purify some negative energy.
A quick shower is a great way to cleanse.
Oh my gosh. I do that so often. Just
wash the day off.
Wash the day off. But also if you're just needing to boost your energy. Sometimes just getting in a shower or taking a bath
can be energizing.
Can be energizing as well. And invigorating if you use cold water.
Right. I've only done that during very hot summers.
when it's
been, holy God, I'm going to die. I need to cool off somehow.
Same.
I am not a cold showers person as a rule.
No,
I respect the brave people who are cold showers people.
Yep. No, there was only one time.
But I am a near scalding shower person.
Yeah. There was one summer where Car and I were out. It was a camping kind of situation and it was like 120 degrees every day. So every morning at 6 a.m. I would get up and take a cold ass fucking shower because it was the coolest I was going to be all day.
Sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes it's necessary.
Sometimes it's necessary.
I was told by someone who grew up in a very, very hot place that what you should actually do when it's very, very hot outside, you should take a hot shower.
Yeah.
Because it tricks your body into thinking it needs to cool you off.
My brother used that method, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, another thing, water is great for offerings.
Oh, absolutely.
Of all kinds.
Any and all kinds. If you don't have a libation that's, you know,
water
like
is a wine
or something, water is always perfect.
Water is life, so it is always a perfect offering.
Absolutely.
In fact, there are some traditions where the only thing you offer to the ancestors is water. You give them a glass of water, and you can tell that they're paying attention by how fast it evaporates.
And you've got, you know, if you're working with the earth deity or any other earth spirit, plant allies.
Yes, because they also need water.
They need water too.
But even if you're not, water is just the essence of life.
Exactly.
So it is appropriate as an offering to any kind of spirit.
Any deity. I will often, if I don't have anything else, I did a healing spell the other day and I had the chalice, you know, well water, but I had just plain old water as an offering to Brigid because she was the one I was petitioning. And so I had two big old goblets full of water, just plain water, in addition to the chalice well for the healing.
And so, I think because water is so cheap and accessible in our part of the world, we forget how rarely that was the case in ye olden days.
Yeah.
Like, to your ancestors, having good, clean water to offer them
was a luxury.
Exactly. Like, that makes you rich beyond measure. Like, The fact that you have water you can drink that will not give you cholera?
Yeah.
Astonishing.
Well, we still have that problem all over the world. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are absolutely places where that is still an issue.
It's still an
issue. But, like, in, like, modern-day America, modern-day Europe, uh-huh. where that is not an issue so much, it still would have been for
it
your ancestors.
Still would have, and they still appreciate the offering.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever feel like, oh, I have nothing to offer.
Don't ever feel ashamed.
You can always offer water. Water is a beautiful, as you said, life-giving force.
Incredibly meaningful offering.
Uh-huh. I mean, yes, it's the element of water. Mm-hmm. You're actually kind of partnering
right.
with the water as you offer it to a deity or a spirit.
Mm-hmm. You're not just offering the physical presence of the liquid of water, which is already an extraordinary offering.
Uh-huh.
But you are offering, you know, part of the magic you have with this relationship with that water.
Uh-huh. In partnership.
And Rochelle says, there are places in the U.S. too where that is ridiculously still the case. Yes, yeah. There are absolutely places where, even in quote-unquote modern
yeah.
developed countries, there are still places that don't have good access to clean water.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, the other thing you can do with water in magic is scrying. You can do water scrying.
Absolutely, you can do water scrying.
I don't have a lot of experience with that because I don't really do scrying in general. I know Gwyn has done some.
Yeah, I have. And what I like to do when I water scry is put it in a dark bowl,
mm-hmm.
you know, a cauldron, and then allow like a light to kind of shine
mm-hmm.
on that water, on the surface, to kind of give it a shimmery kind of
a quality
to it.
Nice.
Exactly. Or just have a candle off to the side. Or mm-hmm. if you can do it under the light of the moon.
Ideal. Yeah.
Ideal. You know, and then you gaze into, into that water and mm-hmm. see what visions you...
See what arises.
But when you're scrying with water, and I have not done this, and I'm like, duh, I should have done this. Ask the water to work with
right.
you.
Ask
the water to show you these visions.
Because water is heavily associated with dreams and psychic work
yep.
and emotions and intuition.
Exactly. So I think I'm going to be doing some water scrying this up, you know, the next full moon
mm-hmm.
and,
commune
with the water that is in my bowl.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have also seen a couple of people talking about something called black water.
Uh-huh.
Which is like black salt. Black salt is when you take regular table salt uh-huh. and you mix it with ash and occasionally a few other things to specialize it. Yeah, to specialize it for various purposes,
uh-huh.
Usually either protection or hexing.
Uh-huh.
And so there are some people who have been making black water, which is water from various sources. Sometimes they say it should be storm water or uh-huh. sometimes they say it should be like marsh water
right.
or things like that. Which has been mixed with ash
uh-huh.
to make it dark
uh-huh.
and visually.
Yeah.
And sometimes they include oil or other things.
That's interesting.
Yeah, to complicate the mixture.
Yeah, because they don't mix. So
no, exactly. Just, so it just sort of floats on the top. Yeah, and then yeah. you just stir it up.
Yeah.
And so that people have used that for divination, or they have used it for the same kind of purposes. You see people using black salt
for
protection and hexing.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, because you absolutely can use water for protection.
Mm-hmm. And I have in the past just used plain clean water on my window frame
yeah.
and door frames just to mark out my space when I'm setting up wards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if I want to double up, I could use salt water.
Yeah, absolutely. That mm-hmm. that is always a great thing. I like mm-hmm. to. I do like to double up.
Yep.
Sometimes triple up. You could because I put a little have
bit
water.
Of, you put a little bit salt, of an essential oil
some,
or something,
or some rosemary buds, uh-huh. or rosemary leaves, or some lavender buds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess all potions are
yeah.
ultimately water aligned.
Water aligned
because they're almost all made with water as the base component.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you add some kind of spirits, mm-hmm. You know, some kind of liquor or something, you're still...
Because the liquor is still made with water.
With water. Yeah. So, yeah, potions and elixirs mm-hmm. and brews.
Let's see, anything else about water that we want to talk about?
I could go to Evo's book.
Go through Evo's book.
The Four Elements of the Wise, Working with the Magical Powers of Earth, Air, Water, and Fire. In this book, again, he has... You know, broken it down to mind, body, and spirit. And so some suggestions of what water could be used for is releasing long-held feelings. So if you're holding a grudge that you want to let go of.
Put that into running water.
Some hurt. Yeah, put it... Running water would be brilliant. Mm-hmm. Improving your self-image. Do some glamour work.
Yes. Glamours are definitely associated with water.
Create rose water.
Yeah.
Or jasmine water if you don't like rose. Yeah. Or some kind of...
Something you can anoint yourself
with. Yeah, something you can anoint yourself with. I think lemon water even would be really, because it's sunny and invigorating. Mm-hmm. And, you know. So yeah, you could improve your self-image, increasing your openness to new possibilities. Because what can water do?
It can open new ways.
Absolutely.
Whether you want it to or not.
And of course, healing and mending relationships. Mm-hmm. Improving your ability to read another person's state of being. So something to help increase your intuition.
Your empathy. Yeah.
Some other things. The obvious one is releasing stress.
Yes.
You can use water to release stress in a number of ways. Bringing your fluids into balance.
Right.
By drinking water. Mm-hmm. In spirit, you can use it for past life recall, dream work, mediumship channeling, and divine embodiment. And think about this, water is movement and channel and, you know, it creates paths.
Yeah.
So absolutely makes sense that you would use this for mediumship and connectivity and things of that nature.
For opening ways.
Being a psychopomp or a death doula. Mm-hmm. Hello, River Styx. And then ancestral work. And of course, weather magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, heavily associated with
that. Having too much water or not enough.
But those are just a few suggestions. Again, I really do recommend getting The Four Elements of the Wise by Ivo Dominguez Jr. It's a very interesting book, and I will reference it again.
Yes, every episode, I'm sure.
Probably.
Rana Gray says, I need to find a waterfall. Nothing sounds as fully cleansing as just letting hundreds of gallons of water fucking smother me. I actually went to Niagara Falls in December. And they have a little thing you can do where you go underneath the falls.
Yeah.
And there's a little, like, platform out beneath the falls where you can just sort of stand
and experience having the
falls all around you. And it is genuinely an astonishing experience.
Yeah.
Because you're just, there's mist everywhere. The falls were not frozen at the time that I went there. They do freeze sometimes in winter, but they weren't frozen when I was there. So there was just... Hundreds of thousands of gallons of water. Just pounding down constantly into this huge river is fed by the waterfalls. Uh-huh. And there was just mist constantly just steaming up from where it was hitting. It really was.
Experience?
It was I went down there and I stood there for probably half an hour. I was lucky. I was the only person there for a good long time.
That is lucky.
So... I think because it was sort of a cold day, so it was not a time when a lot of people really wanted to be surrounded by water. So I got lucky, and there were very few people down there with me. And at one point, everyone left but me. So it was just me standing there on this platform, surrounded by Niagara Falls. An amazing experience.
That's
so
cool.
If you ever have the opportunity to do something like that, I do encourage it.
And you can do some cleansing work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I released a lot of shit at that time.
You don't have to actually be in the water to experience the cleansing power of it.
Yep.
Just by being in its presence.
And it's so loud. I can't explain to you how loud it is to be right next to a waterfall.
Yeah.
Just the sound of it drives every other thought out of your mind. Yeah, so it was very neat. And if you have the opportunity to do something like that, highly encourage it.
Absolutely. Thanks to our tiger Solanox for introducing us to Weavers of the Web, an interfaith pagan ATC, Aquarian Tabernacle Church, organization based in Lansing, Michigan. Weavers of the Web is a public Wiccan church that aims to be family-friendly, supportive, and informative, with the goal of ensuring that no one ever need be alone in their spiritual needs. Weavers is currently raising funds for the down payment on a property, which would allow them to expand their current network of resources. During social distancing, you can find them online at weaversoftheweb.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/weaversATC. Weavers is also holding regular Zoom meetings, online rituals, and Discord discussions during this time.
Hail Dictinus.
So, I think we have discussed as much as we can, or, mm-hmm. or at least touch the basics of working with the element of water.
Right.
Obviously, there are a lot of options. And if, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to the river or to the the ocean, or
you don't have to be physically proximate to a body of water.
Exactly. You can have a glass of water, mm-hmm. a bowl of snow, a bowl of ice cubes, mm-hmm. to get the same energy, mm-hmm. to work with. But yes, obviously, if you have the opportunity,
mm-hmm. the chance
to go to those spaces and spend some time getting to know the spirit of these various forms, mm-hmm. of water, these various bodies of water, then absolutely make the time to do that.
And Rhiannon Gray says, soundscapes are useful too. Plenty of ocean ones for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You can find lots of ocean soundscapes and rain soundscapes and things like that on YouTube for free.
But yeah, there's lots of opportunities and ways to connect with water. Mm-hmm. You can start by making yourself a cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
and just really
engage with that tea,
engage with that brew, mm-hmm. and that water that is the base of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we are going to call it here.
I think so.
You can find us on Google.
Yep.
If you Google the number 3 and the letters PAAC.
Or 3 pagans and a cat.
Mm-hmm. We are on assorted social medias. Mostly Gwyn is on them.
That includes Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, mm-hmm. Very neglected YouTube channels.
We have a Redbubble.
So if you want something that says 3 pagans and a cat on it,
that's where you can get it.
Yep.
Gwyn has a blog, uh-huh. at Patheos Pagan.
Uh-huh. 3 pagans and a cat.
And I think that's it. I think that's all the things.
Pretty much right now, yes.
Yes. So Google us, find the things,
yep.
find our Facebook group or our Discord server.
Absolutely. And as always, we want to thank you, our listeners,
mm-hmm.
for sticking with us, for engaging with us,
mm-hmm.
for encouraging us to continue on.
Yes.
Also thank you to our patrons, mm-hmm. because your support
helps keep the lights on.
Helps us do this. Absolutely. So thank you very much. We love you, and we will be back next week.
Yes, with the next element.
The next.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Go drink some water.